Friday, April 26th, 2024. I'm Charlie Shine, and reading the front pages of the Hartford Courant and the New York Times with me today is Bill Murphy. We're going to start by taking a look at the pictures on the front page of the New York Times and then jump over to Bill. He's going to show us the pictures on the front page of the Courant and give us our first story. So on the front page of the Times, there's a 3x5 photo. In the upper left-hand side, the caption, "Welcome to Venice." That'll be €5, please. Venice's first day of charging a fee to enter the historic center went mostly smoothly, but some protests and polemics. We're going to actually take a look at that. That's in the middle of the paper. And then as we move on over, we have a picture of Justice Neil Gorsuch. He says, "We're writing a rule for the ages. The story itself, split court, hints at some immunity for ex-presidents." And yes, we are going to take a closer look at that in just a little bit. As we move on down, we have a photo of kids in a lunch line. The story itself, or the caption, "Changes to federal regulations on school meals have administrators worried about wastes and costs." And we're going to be covering that in a little bit. As we move on down, we find the thumbnail photos in the bottom of the page from the national section. "A crackdown on coal. The new EPA rules could spell the end for the fossil fuel that powered the country for more than a century." And the picture looks like an energy factory, electricity factory, with coal stacks and smoke billowing out. Moving over to the right, we have from the business section, "Southwest to cut costs. The airline expects fewer deliveries of Boeing planes and cited challenges in achieving growth plans." The photo itself is a fleet of, looks like, grounded Boeing planes sitting on a tarmac. And the final photo from the Weekend Arts section, "Taking aim at bullets." In a new exhibition at the Gagosian Gallery in Manhattan, the Italian artist Mazzario Cattelan confronts gun violence in the United States. And the photo itself, it looks like a picture of the artist sitting down, staring at the camera. Not quite sure what that has to do with bullets, but what do I know about art? Anyway, we're going to go over to Bill and get our first story over there, and also the pictures on the front page of the Courant. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Charlie. A very simple picture, a picture of a sign outside of a gas station, giving the price of gas at that gas station, $3.69 for regular gas. Caption says, "The price of unleaded gas at the Gulf Station Thursday in Portland is $3.69. That's where this picture is taking place. And underneath that, again, I'll read a caption. It says, "The price of regular gas in Connecticut has jumped 16% since the beginning of the year. On Wednesday, the average was $3.71. And there's a picture of Connecticut, a small picture, and there's 8 different cities mentioned: Litchfield, Hartford, Tyland, Windham, New London, Middlesex, New Haven, and Fairfield, giving the prices of gas in that town. And we are going to have that story. I think it's going to be right before we get to the weather. But the first story I have is from the World and Nation section of the Courant from Washington. Coal-fired power plants would be forced to capture smokestack emissions or shut down under a rule issued Thursday by the Environmental Protection Agency, that's the EPA. New limits on greenhouse gas emissions from fossil fuel-fired electric plants are the Biden administration's most ambitious effort yet to roll back planet-warming pollution from the power sector, the nation's second largest contributor to climate change. The rules are a key part of President Joe Biden's pledge to eliminate carbon pollution from the electricity sector by 2035 and across the economy by 2050. The rule was among four measures targeting coal and natural gas plants that the EPA said would provide regulatory certainty to the power industry and encourage them to make investments to transition to a clean energy economy. The measures include requirements to reduce toxic wastewater pollutants from coal-fired plants and safely manage coal ash in unlined storage ponds. EPA Administrator Michael Regan said the rules will reduce pollution and improve public health while supporting the reliable long-term supply of electricity that America needs. One of the biggest environmental challenges facing our nation is man-made pollution that damages our air, our water, and our land, Regan said in a speech at Howard University. Not only is this pollution a major threat to public health, it's pushing our planet to the brink. Regan called the power plant rules a defining moment for his agency as it works to build a cleaner and healthier future for all of us. The plan is likely to be challenged by industry groups and Republican-leaning states. They have repeatedly accused the Democratic administration of overreach on environmental regulations and have warned of a looming reliability crisis for the electric grid. The rules issued Thursday are among at least half dozen EPA rules limiting power plant emissions and wastewater pollution. Environmental groups hailed the EPA's latest action as urgently needed to protect against the devastating harms of climate change. The power plant rule marks the first time the federal government has restricted carbon dioxide emissions from existing coal-fired power plants. The rule also would force future electric plants fueled by coal or gas to control up to 90% of their carbon pollution. The new standards will avoid 1.38 billion metric tons of carbon pollution through 2047, equivalent to the annual emissions of 328 million gas cars, the EPA said, and it will provide hundreds of billions of dollars in climate and health benefits measured in fewer premature deaths, asthma cases, and lost work or school days. Coal plants that plan to stay open beyond 2039 would have to cut or capture 90% of their carbon dioxide emissions by 2032. The EPA said plants that expect to retire by 2039 would face a less stringent standard, but still would have to capture some emissions. Coal plants set to retire by 2032 would not be subject to the new rules. And over to Charlie.
The small Ukraine hilltop town that is Russia's next big target. Zelensky says Kremlin is hoping to capture Chasiv Yar by May 9th. Russian forces have razed dozens of towns and cities in Ukraine over the past 26 months, killing thousands of civilians and forcing millions of them from their homes, leaving a trail of destruction that is impossible to calculate. Severodonetsk, Bakhmut, Avdiivka, cities and towns little known to the world, have become these scorched earth battlegrounds where two armies clashed for months to bloody effect before the Russians finally prevailed. Now, Russian forces have set their sights on Chasiv Yar, a hilltop fortress town in eastern Ukraine. The campaign is part of an intense effort by Russia to achieve what could be its most operationally significant advance since the first summer of the war in 2022. Chasiv Yar covers only about 5 square miles, but if the Russians can seize it, they will control commanding heights that will allow them to directly target the main agglomeration of cities still under Kyiv's control in the Donetsk region. That includes the headquarters of the Ukrainian Eastern Command in Kramatorsk. It would also... I apologize if I'm seriously mispronouncing these. It would also put Russian troops within 10 miles of Kostanivka, the main supply juncture for Ukrainian forces across much of the Eastern Front. Chasiv Yar is the key that will open the gate for exhaustive and long-lasting battles, said Serhiy Habrowski, a military analyst who's a former colonel in the Ukrainian army. While Ukraine hopes renewed military assistance from the U.S. will allow it to start stabilizing fraying defensive lines, its soldiers are desperately short of just about everything, from artillery shells and tank rounds to air defenses and armored vehicles. It could take weeks for significant flows of materiel to change the dynamic on the front, and Ukrainian officials have warned that the Kremlin will try to exploit this window of opportunity to target Ukrainian defenses wherever it can. Just this week, Russian forces exploited a gap in Ukrainian defenses outside of Avdiivka to advance about 2 miles on the village of Ocheretani, which is 30 miles south of Chavis Yar, according to the Ukrainian military, Bill.
Thank you, Charlie. This story from New York, it's in the World of Nations section. As Donald Trump was running for president in 2016, his old friend at the National Enquirer was scooping up potentially damaging stories about the candidate and paying out tens of thousands of dollars to keep them from the public eye. But when it came to the seamy claims by porn performer Stormy Daniels, David Pecker said he put his foot down. "I am not paying for this story," he told jurors Thursday at Trump's hush money trial, recounting his version of a conversation with Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, about the catch-and-kill scheme that prosecutors alleged amounted to interference in the race. Pecker was already $180,000 in the hole on other Trump-related stories by the time Daniels came along. "I didn't want to be involved in this from the beginning." Pecker's testimony was a critical building block for the prosecution's theory that their partnership was a way to illegally influence the 2016 presidential election. The Manhattan District Attorney is seeking to elevate the gravity of the history-making first trial of a former American president and the first of four criminal cases against Trump to reach a jury. But the hush money trial was just one of the consequential legal matters facing the Republican presidential candidate Thursday. The U.S. Supreme Court also heard arguments over whether Trump should be immune from prosecution in a federal case over his efforts to reverse his 2020 election loss to Joe Biden. Trump's many legal problems were colliding this week. The hush money case includes a looming decision on whether he violated a gag order and should be held in contempt. His former lawyers and associates were indicted in a 2020 election-related scheme in Arizona, and a New York judge rejected a request for a new trial in a defamation case that found Trump liable for $83.3 million in damages. Trump has maintained he is not guilty of any of the charges, and as well that the stories were bought and swells were false.
And continuing with the international section of the New York Times, issues testing the thaw between U.S. and China. Secretary of State Antony J. Blinken is meeting officials in China this week as disputes over wars, trade, technology, and security are testing the two countries' efforts to stabilize the relationship. The United States is heading into an election year which President Biden will face pressure to confront Chinese authoritarian government and other new protections for American businesses and workers from low-priced Chinese imports. China is courting foreign investment to help its sluggish economy. At the same time, its leader, Xi Jinping, has been bolstering national security and expanding China's military footprint around Taiwan and the South China Sea in ways that have alarmed its neighbors. Mr. Biden and Mr. Xi have held talks to prevent their country's disputes from spiraling into conflict after relations sank to their lowest point in decades last year. But an array of challenges could make steadying the relationship difficult. Among them, China's territory claims. The United States has been pushing back against China's increasingly assertive claims over swaths of the South China Sea and the self-governed island of Taiwan by building security alliances in Asia. The effort has prompted more concerns in Beijing that the United States is leading a campaign to encircle China and contain its rise. In meetings earlier this month, Mr. Biden met with the leaders of Japan and the Philippines. They discussed territorial conflicts in the South China Sea, including China's repeated harassment of lawful Philippine operations, the U.S. government said. Encounters between Chinese and American military ships and planes in the Taiwan Strait and the South China and East China Seas have continued. raising concerns that an accident could trigger a confrontation between the two powers. That is why U.S. officials have insisted on maintaining close military communication. High-level contacts between the two armies were restored earlier this year after China froze communications in response to former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan in August 2022. China says that the United States and its allies are stoking confrontation and should not interfere in the region's affairs. It has already bristled about the United States and the Philippines launching annual joint military exercises this week. The U.S. Army also deployed for the first time as part of an exercise a mid-range missile system in the Philippines that could reach targets in China. To counter Washington's efforts, China has been trying to shore up its ties with non-aligned countries in the region. The country's top diplomat, Wang Yi, visited Indonesia, Cambodia, and Papua New Guinea last week, around the same time that Mr. Blinken met with foreign ministers from the Group of Seven Nations, a grouping Beijing considers a rival for global influence. Bill.
Thank you, Charlie. Pain at the pump, this story on the front page of the Hartford Courant. Gas prices in Connecticut jumped nearly 30 cents a gallon in the last month, 20 cents in the last week alone. Little more than a month away from the long Memorial Day holiday, the traditional start of the summer driving season. Relief may be on the way as crude oil prices, which account for half of the price paid at the pump, ease, and tensions over a wider war in the Middle East expanding to Israel and Iran appear to be calming. But experts warn that gas prices in Connecticut could see a mid to late summer spike, particularly if what could be the busiest hurricane season on record knocks out refineries along the Gulf Coast, which are heavy suppliers to the Northeast. It's a roller coaster, I think, said Tom Kloza, global head of energy analysis at the Oil Price Information Service, a gas and oil price reporting agency in Rockville, Maryland. The greatest chance for a dip is between now and the middle of July, and then I think it is back up to the roller coaster, log, flume, or whatever you want to call it. Gas prices are still climbing in Connecticut this spring, according to AAA, the auto and travel group. The average price for a gallon of regular gas in Connecticut was $3.71 as of Wednesday, a fraction of a penny increase from Tuesday and up from $3.53 a week ago. At the same time, a year ago, the price per gallon was $3.59. The price of regular gas in Connecticut on Wednesday was 5 cents a gallon higher than the national average of $3.66, according to AAA. In Hartford County, the average was $3.69. Better grades of gas, mid-grade and premium, are averaging well over $4 a gallon, which each gaining a penny between Tuesday and Wednesday. The price per gallon for regular gas, the cheapest and most popular choice among motorists, has risen 51 cents, or 16%, since the beginning of 2024, AAA reported. Analysts say it is not unusual for gas prices to climb in the spring, and they typically moderate after the Memorial Day holiday. Since 2005, prices at the pump have risen annually in the first half of the year, with one notable exception, 2020, when the pandemic shut down travel on the roads, according to Bespoke Investment Group in Harrison, New York, which analyzes economic trends for its investors. It is approximately 19 minutes past the top of the hour, and that means it's time for the weather. Charlie's going to give us the national forecast from the New York Times, and I'll give you the local weather after that.
For helpful tips on using assistive computer technology, listen Monday afternoons at 2 for the Keystrokes Computer Hour on Chris.
Thank you, Bill. National forecast from the New York Times. Thunderstorms with torrential downpours, large hail, damaging wind gusts, and tornadoes will erupt from Minnesota to northeastern Texas today, with the greatest threat for strong tornadoes in Iowa and Missouri. Further north, occasional rain will fall in an arc from central South Dakota through Minnesota and into Wisconsin. Thunder showers will pepper much of Wyoming, Utah, and Colorado. Periods of rain are expected in portions of Washington and Oregon and as far south as northwestern California. Meanwhile, strong winds and dry conditions could lead to an elevated fire risk and blowing dust in the panhandles of Oklahoma and Texas. Gusty winds, low humidity, and dry brush will result in fire risk in southeastern Colorado and eastern New Mexico.
And the local forecast for today through Sunday night, patchy frost before 8 a.m., otherwise sunny with a high near 62. Tonight, clear with a low around 37. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 65. Saturday night, a chance of showers mainly after 1 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 43. Sunday, a slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 68. And Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 52.